Hallelujah. All right, let's lift our hands to the Most High God and begin to bless the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Ancient of Days, the Lord of Hosts, the one who never lost a war. Give him glory, give him honor, give him adoration. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name, we worship. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. I myself should be a castaway. One more time, I want you to help me prophesy to your neighbor and say, you will not fall by the wayside. Say it loud and clear. Enemies are in categories. Basically, external enemies and internal enemies. All external enemies can be grouped together under their captain, Satan. The Bible told us to be sober. And be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, is walking about seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And then he mentioned all other forces of darkness. Enemies are in categories: external, Satan and his hosts, and then internal. Internal enemies include family members. Matthew chapter 10, verse 36. Matthew 10, 36. The Lord himself stated clearly, a man's foes will be they of his own household. In Genesis 37, if you read the story from verse 1 to 20, Genesis 37, from verse 1 to 20. It's the brothers of Joseph who saw him coming and said, "Ha, behold, the dreamer cometh. Let's kill him and see what will become of his dreams." The first murder recorded in the Bible was Cain versus Abel. Genesis chapter 4 from verse 1 to 9. Children of the same mother. The same Father. Worshipping, as it were, God. But one killed the other. Aren't you glad that the Almighty God has not allowed enemies within your family to kill you? Only God knows how many relatives had wished that you be dead. But glory be to God. You are still alive today. In Judges chapter 15, from verse 9 to 13, Judges 15, 9 to 13, it was the relatives of Samson that bound him and handed him over to the Philistines. The elders have a saying, if the death within does not kill you, the death without cannot kill you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, you will win. Then talking about the army, within the army of God, occasionally we find an enemy in the rank. Occasionally, your enemy might be somebody going to the same church with you, singing the same song with you, shouting the same shout with you. In Joshua chapter 7, you can read the whole chapter. Joshua chapter 7. The enemy that nearly ended the ministry of Joshua was one of the soldiers, Achan by name. So we could have enemies among relatives, children of the same parents, enemies even in the church, etc., etc. And then all these eternal enemies are small compared to the enemies that might be within you. Enemies that you sleep with, wake with, go to the toilet with, come to church with. Enemies within yourself. In James chapter 1, from verse 13 to 15, James 1, 13 to 15, the Bible tells us that, hey, God never tempts anybody. If you run into any temptation, maybe you need to check yourself. That people are led into temptation because of their own loss that could lead them to sin that will ultimately produce death. When you read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 to 17, Hebrews 12, verse 15 to 17, you find that the greatest enemy of Esau was his appetite for food. I'm talking to soldiers of Christ. I'm trying to share with you the secret of never failing again. Esau loved food. There are soldiers of Christ who cannot fast. Before anybody can contradict me, there's nowhere in the Bible where it is written that the just shall live by fasting. What the Bible says is the just shall live by faith. And I'm telling you that in advance, particularly those of you who are full-fledged members of Redeemed Christian Church of God. I want to warn you in advance. In the coming year, you will fast. The amen wasn't loud. I'm telling you in advance so you can enjoy between now and December. Because as the Lord lives, in the year 2025, you're going to be fasting for 100 days. If you are happy, shout hallelujah. You see, the last time we fasted for 100 days was 2015. 10 years ago. I said, Daddy, why are we going to fast for 100 days? I will tell you when the time comes. Oh Lord, have mercy. Remember last year, or was it at the beginning of this year, one priest said, what kind of God will ask you to fast for 50 days before answering you? I said, I'm not talking to your congregation. No. I'm talking to my children. I said, the one you want to kill them with fasting, have they complained to you? If fasting should kill, I should be dead by now. Tell your neighbor one more time, you will win. It was food that destroyed Esau. His stomach was his God. When you talk of Gehazi, one of the greatest losers in history, in 2 Kings chapter 5 from verse 20 to 27, 2 Kings 5 from 20 to 27, that boy who would have been probably the greatest prophet in the Old Testament ended up with leprosy because his eyes were focused on the things of the earth rather than things of heaven. Boy who could have obtained a double portion of the anointing of Elisha. You can imagine how tremendous his power could have been. No, he preferred money. And he got leprosy. You know Judas Iscariot, of course. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, from verse 15 to 20. Acts 1, 15 to 20. Peter said, he was one of us. He obtained part of this ministry. He ate and drank and slept with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But he ended up hanging himself. I pray for you one more time. You will win. So I can go ahead and begin to mention all the things you must subdue. Oh, loss of the eyes, loss of the flesh, etc., etc. But I want to focus on just one big thing that must die in your life tonight. If that thing dies, then I'm sure that when I get to heaven, I will see you. And that is something called pride. In warfare, it is a regular practice that when you are facing an enemy that you are not sure you'll be able to defeat, you get an ally. You get people, another army, to join with yours so you can defeat your enemy. But the worst scenario in any man's life is to go to war with an ally going with you, and then you get to the battlefield and your ally cross over to the enemy side. And begin to lead the attack against you. The greatest ally of a Christian soldier is the Almighty God himself, the Lord of hosts. But the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 6. James 4, verse 6. That if you ever give room to pride, your ally will join your enemy to fight you. God receives the proud. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 5. Proverbs 16 verse 5 says, the proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. You ever become proud, you have a big problem. Because your ally becomes your enemy. Beloved children, even if you don't learn anything else during this Congress, learn this. That no matter how well trained a soldier may be, no matter how well equipped a soldier may be, safety is of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 13. Proverbs 21, verse 13. Tells us that the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Don't ever forget that. Once you remember that, you know the secret of continuous and constant victory. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 9. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 9. No matter your training, no matter how strong you are, it is written, by strength shall no man prevail. All success, all victories, all progress is of the Lord. John 15 verse 5. John 15 verse 5. Jesus Christ said clearly, without me you can do nothing. When you go through the scriptures, you will see great soldiers who have been marching for years, and they end up failing. Learn from Moses. I studied Moses greatly when I became a Christian. And when you read Numbers chapter 20, Numbers 20 from verse 1 to 12, you will find that after 40 years of marching to war, he made a statement. The people lacked water. He's gone before the Lord. I want you to stand on your feet. Everybody, stand on your feet. You're going to pray a prayer. Loud and clear, and pray this prayer with all your heart. And say, Father, if there be a saboteur in the electrical department, expose him. Open your mouth and cry to the Lord. If there be a saboteur in the electrical department, Almighty God, the light of the world, expose him or her. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise God. Let's sit down and continue with our study. We shall win. Where was I? Moses made a statement. When the people lacked water, anyone not hearing clearly? Oh, you are hearing now. Okay, good. The people lacked water. He went to God, and God told them what to do. He got back to the people and said, must we bring you water? We, myself and Aaron. So God said, Moses, are you the one who have been bringing water? If you ever get to a stage in your life that you begin to think that without you, God cannot do what he's doing, you are finished. It's not you. Thank God for the first lecture we had. Greater is he that is in you, is the one who is in you. Never, ever think that without you, God is helpless. It's the other way around. Without God, you are helpless. Learn from Samson. Judges chapter 15. From verse 14 to 16, Judges 15, 14 to 16. After the Spirit of God came mightily upon him, and he took the jawbone of an ass, and with that he slayed 1,000 people. What did he say? He said, with the jawbone of an ass, hip upon hip, with the jawbone of an ass, I have slain 1,000 people. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Proverbs 16, verse 18 says, pride comes before destruction. Pride is the capital enemy you must address today, so that we will never fail again. Pride is the mother of ingratitude. If you have found it difficult to be grateful, particularly to God, we had had to really, really pump you before you praise God. You have a problem with pride. And like I told you yesterday, if we don't show gratitude for what he had already done, when another problem comes, to whom will you run? Look at the case of Samson again. Judges chapter 15 from verse 17 to 19. Judges 15, 17 to 19. After he said, oh, I'm the one who killed 1,000. And Saul hit him hard. He had never said thank you, God. But when he now saw that, oh, he was about to die, he now said, God, you are the one who gave this great victory. That's why God gave him water to drink again. Another reason why pride is so dangerous, why is your probably the worst enemy you can ever dream about, is that pride leads to overconfidence. Once pride comes, overconfidence will follow. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, the Bible made it clear. If you think you stand, take heed, lest you fall. Victory is of the Lord. He's the one who can see you to the end. At least you remember Peter. Matthew 26, verse 31 to 35. Matthew 26, from verse 31 to 35. The Lord said, all of you will be offended in me tonight. Peter said, what are you talking about? Don't you know me? Not too long ago, you yourself said, flesh and blood were not revealing things to me. I hear directly from God, man. even when the Lord told him, "You're going to fail three times before the cock crow twice," he said, "Not me." You know the end result. Pride must die in you. Beloved soldier of Christ, I want you to note the following. The sermon is not going to be long because it's a sermon you must remember for life. You remember this sermon? There is the guarantee that you will never fail again. Let us listen to Paul, the apostle of grace, the one I will call an ultimate winner. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18, he said, "Be grateful in everything, give thanks." Not only in words, but in action. And if we have any major problem among brethren, among soldiers of Christ, it's ingratitude. I've heard people say, "Why are they always say, let someone shout hallelujah, let someone shout hallelujah. Ah, let someone shout hallelujah." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17, 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, he said, "Pray without ceasing." Do you know it is pride that does not allow you to pray? I can't do this myself. Who needs to call on God for this one? Hey. Pray. That song says, "Christians, seek not your repose. Hear the guardian angels say, thou art in the midst of foes, watch and pray." One of my close associates travel with me almost all over wherever I go. When something happened, she said, "Now I know why you pray almost all the time. Because if we're going somewhere, before we leave the living room, we pray. We get into the car, we pray. On the way to where I will be preaching, I be praying. I arrive where we are going, before they say some people are coming to see me, I will say, okay, just give me some minutes. I'll pray." Why? Victory is of the Lord. You need help. How many of you need help? Do I hear you shout, "God help me"? When I wake up in the morning, I pray. When I'm about to take my bath, I pray. I just keep praying. There are lots of things that you do that is only God that is making it possible for you to do them. Years ago, one of my daughters had been sick for quite a while, and we have been praying and praying. One day, I got a message from her. Thank God, Daddy. For the first time in 6 months, I was able to go to the toilet by myself today. Do you thank God for being able to go to the toilet unaided? Have you ever heard of people who are on their way to the toilet and they collapse? Have you ever heard of people who died in the bathroom? Pray, my brother. It is pride that hinders us from praying. Peter was so sure he could never deny God. Even when he was told, pray so that you don't fall into temptation, he fell asleep. Who needs to pray? Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. 2 Corinthians 11, 27. From Paul, the apostle of grace, he said, I fast often. Often. Listen to him. He's my friend. I love him. There are some people who think they know him better than I do. That's all right. But you know that he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. He said, flee youthful lusts. You must not tempt the Lord your God. Samson was so sure, who is Delilah, this little girl? I can handle her. At the end of the day, he discovered he couldn't handle her. There are certain things you don't wait for. Don't tempt the Lord your God. If they throw you into the den of lions, my God will get you out. But if you walk into the den of lions yourself, the lions will eat you up. In one of the universities, a prophet said he wanted to prove to the people that the God of Daniel is his God. So he went into the zoo and climbed into the lion section. And the lion saw him coming and was wondering, who is this fellow? So the lion began to move back, and he was saying to the people, you see now, the God of Daniel is my God. The lion began to move back, and he wanted to prove further that the God of Daniel was his God. And he began to tease the lion. Shh, shh. So the lion said, well, if you want to attack, I will show you how to do it. Before anybody could do anything, the lion had finished him. Don't walk into the den of lions yourself and say, I am a soldier of Christ. Don't walk into temptation. Don't let pride destroy you. Philippians chapter 3. And I'm about to close. I'm sure you already got the message. Philippians chapter 3 from verse 12 to 14. Paul, the man who finished well, the man who finished strong, said, I've not yet attained. I'm still on the journey. Then he said one thing. Because this one major area where some of us have the problems with pride. He said, I'm forgetting the things behind and pressing forward. Many of us get into pride because of the victories of the past. Someone said, victories of the past can be like ashes. If you are not careful, they can put out your fire. Ashes. Glorify God for all He had done for you. But please don't say, I did it. There's only one I am. Not two. If you are marching on and you are not stumbling, it is the one in you that is doing the work. So we'll be praying tonight. I have focused on pride because it's the biggest fellow. There might be some little brothers associated with it. You are not a good soldier if you don't finish well. You must finish well. And whatever is in you that will not allow you to reach your goal must die tonight. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But the life I live now, I live only by the grace of God, of the Son of God, the one who loved me and died for me. We're going to be crying unto God to do a thorough crucifixion tonight. We're going to be laying ourselves on the altar before the Almighty God and asking Him, Father, whatever is in me that will not allow me to make it to heaven, whatever is in me that will not allow me to finish well, crucify. particularly anything in me that might be faintly associated with pride, kill it tonight. Because the moment you subdue that enemy within, then your future will be glorious. I remember years ago, we were in the very, very first auditorium. The crowd was big, about 20,000 people. And I'm telling you, that was a big crowd then. It was Holy Ghost night. And I've been praying since morning. Well, of course, I've been fasting. I've been praying. And then the choir was singing, which was a signal to me in my prayer room. I must come out now to minister. And I didn't feel satisfied. I didn't feel that I've prayed enough. I said, oh my God, what am I going to do? Yes, I've been praying since morning, but I don't feel I've prayed enough. And he said to me, son, do you think it is your prayer that is performing the miracles? Do you think it is because you know how to wait on me, how to fast? So you are beginning to think it's your efforts. I said, no, sir, I'm sorry. He made a statement. I'm sharing with you, probably for the first time. He said, don't worry, my son, I will go with you. I will do the work. You are not the one doing anything. Beloved choir, the voice is not your own. Anointed pastor, the anointing is not your own. Wonderful ushers, the strength to stand is not your own. Anything that you are doing that can give you the impression it is me must die tonight. Now, those of you who have not even given your life to Jesus Christ, you'll be wondering, what's he talking about? Of course, you can't understand because you're not even in the army of the Lord yet. But if you give your life to Jesus Christ tonight, if you surrender to him, if you won't allow pride to keep you from coming to the altar, if you come and fall before him and ask him to please save your soul, he will do so. And you become a new creature. And then all these spiritual things will become clear to you. So we are going to give you 2 minutes. Those of you who have been listening to me, at least you know what pride is. Pride is that which says, how can I go forward before all these people? Don't you know who I am? If you want to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, come and stand before the altar and come and cry to Jesus for salvation of your soul, and I will pray with you. And the Almighty God will save your soul and give you a brand new beginning. You need Jesus now before the day of trial will come. Come to Him. Come and surrender your life to Him. Let Him save your soul. And then we begin to give you victory over enemies without and enemies within. Thank you, Father. And those of you who have come, I want you to cry to the Almighty God. I say, Lord, have mercy on me. Save my soul. Forgive all my sins. And those of you who are on the way, hurry up. Come and join those who are in the front and pray as you come. Almighty God, have mercy on me. Save my soul. Forgive all my sins. Come and be my Lord. Come and be my Savior. I want you to please step into my life and take over. Take over. I will serve you for the rest of my life. Go ahead, cry unto Him. And the rest of us, please, let's stretch our hands towards these people and pray for them. And say, Lord, have mercy on these people. Save their souls like you have saved mine. Give them genuine salvation. Give them a brand new beginning. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Ancient of this, I just want to say thank you. I thank you for your word. And I thank you for these people who have responded to the altar call. Father, please receive them in Jesus' name. Have mercy on them. Let your blood wash away their sins. Save their souls. Write their names in the book of life. Receive them into the family of God. Let them become yours forever. And anytime they call on you, Father, answer them by fire. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Now, those of you who have come forward, I want you to shout a big hallelujah. They will get your names, your address, and your prayer requests. And I promise you that from now on, by the grace of God, I'll be praying for you. So I want you to go to the Almighty God and cry to Him. Father, you know me more than I know myself. You know all those things in my life that are hindering my journey in the Christian way. You know all those little faults that I call them, particularly pride. Everything that won't let me make it to heaven, please destroy tonight. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Everything in me that is cooperating with Satan, that is the enemy within, destroy tonight. Please, Almighty God, everything that can turn you to my enemy, Almighty God, deal with it tonight. Don't let me be my own enemy. Almighty God, don't let me be my own enemy. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. The word of God says, if two of you shall agree, as touching anything you ask on earth, it will be done for you by our Father in heaven. The prayer of tonight is so important that you need someone to agree with you. So the pastors will please go down into the congregation. They will come and lay hands on you and they will pray one prayer for you. They will simply say, I agree with you. You will not fall by the wayside. Once they've laid hands on you, you take it by faith and begin to praise the only one who can give you total victory. You just praise him until you are satisfied. So please, pastors, can we go down? But before they come, I want you to stand up on your feet if you can. Lift your hands to heaven as I want to pray with you now. My Father, my God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for the teaching of tonight. I want to thank you because I know you love these, your children, in a very special way. Father, accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Father, descend from heaven and deal with us individually tonight. Whatever can cause us to miss heaven, destroy tonight. Whatever you have to kill, kill tonight. Whatever you have to amputate, amputate it tonight. Whatever you have to burn, burn it tonight. In your own miraculous way, beginning from this moment, anything slightly connected with pride in our lives, destroy. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Now, you continue to pray. The pastors will come. They will lay hands on you. After they've laid hands on you, you begin to praise the only one who can give you total victory. And I'm sure you will never fail again. Glory be to God. Okay, the band can continue to pray and me to play. God bless you. Pastors, please, let's move.
Jesus, the power. powerful name, Jesus. There is no other name I know. That wonderful name,
that wonderful name.
Yes,
Jesus.
Wonderful name. Jesus, the powerful name, Jesus, the powerful name, Jesus, there is no other name I know, that wonderful name.
Evermore. His name is Jesus. the broken hearted. Open wide the prisoners. He is able to deliver evermore.
His name is Jesus.
Jesus.
Open wide the prison door. He is able to deliver evermore.
That's great.